Amen. Thank you, Miss Aurora. I've grown very fond of your voice. Please keep using it for the Lord. Amen. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1. We ready? Amen. Ready. All right. Jude chapter 1. Let's read a couple verses of scripture. Verse 17. Boy, I could back up. I could read the whole chapter. But if you've read it before, you realize at the beginning, Jude is outlining some things. And it's no mystery that this book is placed. I believe God oversaw the canonization of Scripture as well. That's just how I believe. He knew what he was doing. He put them books, even though Job is recorded as the oldest book. Some say it's probably one of the first. He knew right where to put that book. And I say that as well of Jude. And there's a lot of revelation. Can I use that word in Jude? About what's out there. And there's a lot out there. But he gets to verse 16. I'll at least use that one to include it. I didn't when I was studying. But he said these, referring to those that he had mentioned previously in the verses. He said these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And I could alliterate or at least illustrate everything going on now our television sets with everything taking place, who these folks are. I'm not going to do that. I'll save you the time. But he got down to verse 17. He said, but, beloved, remember, this is key now. Memory is key. I think I said the other day that I embarked on a course right out of high school because of my memory, and I can use that word. I looked at what people were, and I said, I don't want to be that. I was lost. I said, you're only going to do a couple of things in the little tiny podunk town I grew up in. You're going to either do drugs, or you're going to leave and make something out of yourself. And I said I didn't want to just stay there and become the status quo. Jude is doing that same here. I know we don't like to talk about that, but he focuses on all these. These be they. And then he said to, can I say us, or at least those that he was writing to, but beloved, remember. He's saying, you got to remember some things. Remember ye what? The words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. When I hear Jude say that, I think of a parent. You know, I don't ever want to be that parent or pastor that wants to rub somebody's nose in something. I don't want to do that. But I hear the parent in Jude that says, remember how they told you, the apostles. He's referring to the apostles already told you this was going to happen. Don't let it be a mystery to you. A lot of people walk around going, oh my goodness, look at all this stuff that's taking place right now. No, it's in the Bible. All of it's in the Bible. We're admonished to remember what's said and heed those things that were said to keep us from being consumed by those things that were said. How that they told you, verse 18, there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These, he's pointing out the two differences. He's talking to them and those. He said, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, and again, here's the comparison. Now I know somebody's going to say, well, the Bible says we're not to compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise. He's talking to a church there. I'm not going to, well, you know, I think I'm a little further along than Brother Colossa. I'm glad I'm not as bad as so-and-so. That's not what we ought to do. If you see that somebody's not running at the pace you are, you're admonished to go up to them and help them to get to the pace you are. and so on and so forth. And if somebody's going too fast, somebody's to admonish them and pull them back, and we're supposed to go at the speed that God wants us to go at. But there is a comparison being made here. Verse 19, he said, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved," and he keeps using that phrase, "building up yourselves." He says, themselves separate themselves. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Verse 21, "keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Oh, there's so much in this text. There's so much going on in Jude's life and the day and age that he wrote that in that is so applicable and pointed and meaningful for the day that we now find ourselves in. Help us to glean, to harvest the truths that are found in these statements. As few as they may be, they are fruitful. And so we'd ask you to help. Lord, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that you touch that one today through the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. For that one that's just complacent, apathetic, if you will, sitting on a church pew, just being tossed to and fro from every wind that just blows their way. We pray, Lord, that they'd see something from this passage of Scripture. And Lord, myself, thank you for the admonishment to myself to keep myself in the love of God. Help me to always be looking for you, searching for you, trying to find where you're at and following behind you, never getting too far in front of you, never straying too far from you. You know our needs today, Lord, more than anyone else. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to each and every one of those needs. I plea in Jesus' name, amen. I believe I've stated on numerous occasions my approach, if you will, to the Sunday morning. I have been this week mulling over, meditating on a passage of Scripture in recent days. I guess it's been a habit of mine, Alicia, that when Monday starts, I know Monday is going to produce 3 messages that week, and who knows what else in my schedule. It could produce conversations, it could produce fellowship with somebody, and I'm not just fellowshipping to fellowship. I want to make sure that my life is to provoke, and I'm not making them struggle. I want to place myself in a place that draws somebody closer to God, and I don't want to hinder somebody's walk. I want to help somebody's walk, whether they're lost or whether they're saved. I don't want to be a hindrance to somebody. And so Monday embarks that time for me. If I'm doing a series on Wednesday, I'm focusing on that in my mind. I try to separate all 3 of those messages. I try to stay out of Revelation while I'm in finances, and I'm trying to stay out of finances while I'm in the Sunday morning message. But Brother Baldwin, if you preach enough, they kind of all blur together if you're not careful. I'm thankful that I don't teach Sunday school class now, because sometimes Sunday school class would just be a regurgitation of Sunday school, and before you know it, it's just... But can I say this? There's really only 3 messages in the Bible. Salvation, sanctification, and service. They're all going to fall into that category. And I really only preach 3 messages. I just change the titles, make them really fancy. So somebody goes, "Oh, wow, that's new. I never heard that before." Many times, as I've stated, that is where the Sunday morning messages, if you will, are born from, in hopes that it doesn't only help me. So I've developed a habit on Mondays, Michaela, that I'm trying to think, you know, whether it's something I listen on the radio or a podcast or my own personal reading, something I ask God, stick something out for me to grab onto and help me in my walk for this week. Brother Baldwin in the Sunday school does it for us. If you really, if you're not a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, you're being helped by, if you just grab that Sunday morning Sunday school verse, right, Brother Baldwin, and just chew on it, there's so much you could get from it. And so it's a habit that I've set up. With that said, the passage we just read has been that for me at least these last couple of weeks, specifically verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What a wonderful passage of scripture in the day that we're now living to do that. As I spent time reading the verses around that this week, though, more became clearer and helpful to me. Context is key. Can I say, as a pastor, the bulk of your ministry, my ministry if you will, or if you become a pastor, the bulk of your ministry is usually encouraging people to keep yourselves in the love of God. I've said this, and I don't mean to be mean when I say this, and I don't mean to be sarcastic if it comes across that way. I have said to many people on many occasions, I don't have a pastor. I'm not challenging anybody in this church. There are men older than me. But most of the time, even when I'm around older men, they are not challenging me to be better as a Christian. They're just, I'm your pastor. That's not a challenge. I'm not. You got to hear what I'm trying to say. I want to get around people sometimes that they challenge me. That's why I invite other preachers in. That's why I sit down and I have to. Can I be honest? I need to be challenged. I have not figured this out. I never come and say, I am the benchmark by which you need to set your life. I'm not. He's the benchmark that we set all of our lives. But as a pastor, you will find the bulk of your ministry is encouraging people to keep yourselves in the love of God. And someone may say, well, that's easier said than done, preacher. And I would reply by saying, yeah, no kidding. Really? And yet we read from a man named Jude those very words. And might I say, he wasn't immune to all the things that will come against us to keep us, or to keep each one of us out of it. I was careful to take note of the words he uses in our text. Words mean something. Watch this now. He wrote, and I don't believe it was a mistake. I'm trying to read into it further than what he said, though. He wrote, keeping yourselves. He didn't say keeping ourselves. Your pastor preaches week after week, and he's saying, us. I'm in this with you. I say it over and over again. And I was sitting there reading this at Jude, and I was going, Jude didn't say keep ourselves. Hey, y'all, let's go. Come on, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Boy, that's, can you imagine that if a pastor said that? And I've sat under men, and I believe they were as full of the Holy Ghost as anybody. I've sat there many times with the Nathans. And you're sitting there saying, man, he's shaking his finger at me, ain't he? Jude says, keep yourselves. And he referred to the others as themselves. They be they. He's talking about that crowd. He sets a contrast when I was reading this passage between all three of them. He, them, and you. If I can use a phrase or a statement from Wednesday night regarding finances, here's where we blur the messages together, that would apply here as well, and I said this, and I said it several times, it does not happen, whatever it is you're stewarding over, whether it's the time, the temple, the treasure, or your talents, it does not happen and come about by a lack of desire. It comes about or happens by a lack of discipline and dedication. I honestly believe that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice this morning has a desire to, but I wonder some days at the dedication and the discipline. Somebody might say, well, I hear that in your voice sometimes when you say, I'll see you back here tonight. I'm not saying I'll see you back here tonight as a chastisement. I'm saying that in a way that I'm hoping you will. It's a warning, if you will, because if you don't, there is so many things that are going to be pulling at you. Can I say one that just gets in my craw? And I don't think I'm shooting at anybody. I hope I'm not, because I don't want you to think I'm shooting. I went to a time when I came in. I'm thankful when I came in. I wish I would have come in a whole lot earlier. to the church. 27 years I wasted a lot of things that I'll never get back. But when I got in, there was a desire, there was a passion. I looked around and I said, man, I don't want to miss this. Man, there was people just, they were looking around and I was going, wow, how did I find myself away from this? I did not know this existed. And I got in there and then slowly little things started to take place. Can I tell you one that is absolutely, I could get so quick in the flesh with this one, is Super Bowl Sunday and watching what it's done to the church, where they literally have intermission, Super Bowl Sunday parties where they go to church. You know what that pastor's done? He has lessened Christ so much and elevated that so much just to do what? Hope to keep somebody in church. I pray that never happens to me. I pray that I never, can I use a word this strongly, desecrate the divinity of God to a place and liken it to some football game just to get people to sit on a church pew. And it bothers me, but I'm watching every little stage in life, COVID and that mess and everything, and YouTube and social media, where I can just sit in the convenience of my own home and just approach God on my terms. It's terrible. It's terrible. I don't believe anybody under the sound of my voice has a lack of desire to keep themselves in the love of God. I do question their dedication and discipline, though. Can I even go as far as to say this and hear the statement before you push back? You are as spiritual today as you choose to be. You're as close to God this morning as you want to be. And sadly, I'm seeing and hearing that more and more people want to be saved, and they want all the perks that come with that, but they don't want to be separated or serving God. Can I just insert this here? What is salvation really without separation and service? I don't know if anybody knows of this man that I'm going to mention, but it just goes to show you how far things have come. I am not a Protestant. I am a Bible-believing, New Testament believer that chooses to go to a Baptist church because they are closest doctrinally to Scripture. That's the best way for me to say it. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. I wasn't protesting nothing. I got saved. But Libby has a tendency in the morning to just turn on some kind of religious program. It's amazing how the religious programs have changed. And she turned on, many of you probably would never know this man, Dr. D. James Kennedy, Coral Gables, Florida, Presbyterian. Many of our independent fundamental Baptist churches have a Presbyterian as their icon. The shadow of this, that is the baseball player. Help me with that. Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian, but they use that as some kind of benchmark. What's the point you're trying to make? I sat there and listened to him. It was, I don't know how long the message was, but I was sitting there going, and that's a Presbyterian church. J. Vernon McGee was another Presbyterian preacher. Listen to the things that he says on the radio from years ago. Now you go into the average Baptist church, and it's compromise. It's Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. It's come as you are, leave as you were. We just want to hopefully make some kind of connection so you can do the best, to be the best. It's terrible. It's terrible what I've seen preachers become. It's saddening to see them no longer challenge people, but just kind of try and do everything they can to just keep the attendance there. That's the battle. And so, what is salvation really without separation and service? Separation and service come as a result of Him saving us and secures or reveals the reason for Him saving us. Can I just say this, and please hear what I say and how I'm saying it. God didn't just save you to save you. Let me say that again. God didn't just save you to save you. It's very selfish to think that way. He saved you to use you so that others could be saved as a result of you. I need a verse of Scripture, Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Very popular verse of Scripture. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Salvation is God putting you, can I use this terminology, putting you on his chessboard as a pawn or a bishop or a castle or whatever, and moving you about so that other people can be affected by your life. I am who I am today, saved, because God put Rodney Pruitt on the chessboard of his world, but my life. And where would I be if not for that? That comes about as simply as I can put it: salvation, separation, and service. Salvation is his part, the others are our part. It is our part to keep ourselves where God rescued us to. Jude wrote that, or should I say what Jude wrote is placed right before the revelation. I already said that. And he knew all that would pull on each of us, but admonishes us to, and I've read it already, but I want to remind us all again so we hear it fresh and anew. Jude says to them, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." He said, these be they. There's the comparison. These be they who, what? Separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, what? Making a difference. And others, you'll never make a difference in somebody else's life if you don't keep yourselves in the love of God. Because love is not divine to us. It is divine to him, and I can't love unless I have his love. My wife and I got married 37 years ago. I said, I love you. That was lust. I didn't know what love was. How can I say to her, I love? And now I know that just messes up everybody's psyche. Because our parents should teach us what love is. And we see it demonstrated in the home by a father and a mother and a husband and a wife. And it is a picture of our heavenly relationship, as he being the bride and we being the groom. And they see that and they want that and they're drawn to that. And they see what true love is. God is love. How can you have love if you don't have God? But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, keep yourselves, and some have compassion, making a difference. You'll never make a difference in somebody else's life until God's made a difference in your life. Jude explains that there would be, can I say or use this phrase, a pull. Brother Baldwin, he's showing them and us. And he's saying, you need to keep yourselves in the love of God that's over here. If I can use it by location. He said, because they're going to pull you out. They've separated themselves. They're sensual. They're spiritless, if you will. Having not the Spirit. And he explains and expresses that pull, comparing them with those that knew God. And let me say this, just because you know God doesn't mean there won't be a pull. I wish the day Noah, I got saved, there wouldn't be a pull no more. That's where Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, he said, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What was the cloud of witnesses? Chapter 11, all those heroes of the faith. He said, wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the definite article, the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. That's what we're supposed to look at. That's what we're supposed to see. And he gives us a sinless picture of it. And we see his humanity in the garden where he says, Ryan, he says, Father, let this cup pass from before me. He's asking, praying for this pain that he knows he's going to endure in the flesh. He said, nevertheless, not thy will, or not my will, but thine will be done. And we see it as possible, and that's what we're supposed to look at. And all the while we're being pulled, Jude identifies the first crowd, these be they, with three adjectives. I've touched on them. Separate. It means to disjoin oneself from others, to separate. To disjoin, to disconnect, if you will. Number two, he uses this word, sensual. That word sensual means under the influence, watch this now, under the influence of gross passions and appetites. And can I say this? We're safe in here in the sanctuary. We try and make it safe. I remember when I first got here, I used to say, this ain't KFC. We're not selling breasts and thighs here. You go into the average church, it's a display of flesh. You go to these happy clappy churches, it is a display of flesh. It's terrible. I shouldn't have to be drawn. I should not be pulled that way. I should be drawn closer to God when I come to church. There shouldn't be somebody. When we have these youth group meetings, you know what they're doing? Leave the cell phones at home. Leave this at home. Leave that at home. You know why? Because those things pull at young people, don't they, Brother Baldwin? They pull. They draw them. They suck them in. And you don't even believe it's happening. Is it no mystery why it's called the worldwide? What does a web do to a spider, Alicia? Catches it. And then you try your best to get out of it. And it is a multi, probably trillion dollar industry where they are doing everything they can. We ought to, Miss Linda, we ought to not have a senior saints luncheon for Summit County prosecutor to come down and talk about fraud. We ought to have somebody come down from a Christian analyst from the internet space to come down and teach our young people how, no, not just our young people. Where's my age group in here? You know where my age group is? They're on a computer somewhere. Addicted to this, that, and the other thing on there. We ought to bring them down and have a whole class on it. What the makers of the World Wide Web, what websites, what all that stuff is trying to do. It's trying, Noah, to pull you there. Now mom and dad are buying them iPads, and I'm not shooting at anybody that's got them. Buying them iPads and handing it to them. I've got one people that if I don't know what to do with an iPad, I might as well just hand it to them and show me. And I know Abraham's day was hard, but I'm going to tell you what, this day is pretty hard. There are so many things, sensual things and separated things and spiritless things that are just constantly pulling. You will get in your car when you leave here, and I dare you to find your way home without being pulled some in some direction, some way, somehow. Separate means to disjoin oneself from others. Sensual, under the influence of gross passions and appetites. Spiritless, having not the Spirit of God or of true religion. Can I say right here that there was a time that people that didn't even really go to church or at least had a spirit of religion, now sadly those that go to church and claim to know God are more sensual than those from those days. I grew up in an absolute bomb shelter. But there was something about Christmas and Thanksgiving that they would try and execute a prayer at the table. At the time, I lived in the day of the spirit of religion. There was nothing open on Sundays. Why? Because our society had deemed it necessary to go to church, and those businesses were in compliance and saying, I don't want to have people working here that need to go to church first. Now it's anything goes. Those were the days. And I would sit in a lost person's home, Ryan, and I'd say, why can't I go down to the Five and Dime? Why can't I go here? Why can't I go there? Why can't we get this? Because those places are not open until after church. I raised my children in dry counties where you could actually go somewhere and eat without having to, as the Bible says, look not upon the wine while it's red, while it giveth its color in its cup, but at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. My children didn't have to be raised in that environment and see that kind of thing. Now it's just everywhere. You can't fly without it. You can't eat without it. You can't grocery shop without it. The pull. The world's pull, can I say that, has pulled a lot of people straight off of pew. Or should I say, right out of the love of God. You may say that doesn't sound right. Those are Jude's words. Because he pointed out them, and he admonished us by pointing out them. That word keep, it means this. It means to watch. To guard from loss or injury, from keeping the eye upon. It means to prevent from escaping, to fulfill a command, to detain, to hold fast, to keep, to preserve, to watch. That sounds like quite a task when you read it. And can I say this? It is. It's more than just salvation. It's separation. And separation will always lead to service. When I joined the military, wasn't salvation, but they stripped me of everything I was. The only thing I had a choice in, Brother John, was boxers or briefs. That sounds crazy. That's the only thing I had a choice in is boxers or briefs. And some of y'all are going, what are those? Mom and Dad, you've got a hard task ahead of you. You know what they were doing? They were stripping me down to introduce me into a team that could be unstoppable. Do you know why our world is falling apart today? It's not because of the White House. It's because of the church house. The church is a body, and we're fitly joined together. And we are referenced and referred to on numerous occasions as an army. Salvation leads to separation, which leads to service. And you and I will never get to a place of service if we don't hear Jude's warnings and heed them. Honestly, can I just be brutally direct as a pastor and even as a person? I get bothered by some folks that can't seem to keep themselves, all while thinking others have it somehow easier. I could preach a year-long series on the things that will keep you out or pull you in. If it was easy, then more would probably be serving God today. I wrote down a simple list of things I see as an introduction that you will encounter that pull people out, that they have to fight to keep themselves in. Number one, and they're not in necessarily any order, pride. Pride pulls at us to get us out. Satan, Lucifer, whoever you want to call him, his pride pulled him out of the most secure place you could ever be in. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. People will pull you out. They'll pull at us to get us out. Proverbs 1 and verse 10, the admonition of a father to his son. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And that father's a watchman because he is aware that his children and those that he is in care for will constantly be pulled. Can you do your pastor a favor? Don't get critical if he preaches on things. He said, I don't go to church anymore because all the preachers ever do is just preach on things. Well, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man loved not the Father, or if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And where are we supposed to stay? In the love of God. I'm thankful for men of God that pointed their bony finger at me, and I'm sitting there looking, is he talking to me? Is that true? How does he know what's going on in my house? How does he know what's taking place in my little pea patch? How does he know that? God knew that and used the Nathan to point his finger to keep me out of there. And they set up a standard that these are things that I should not be doing. Yes, they should be Bible-based. But I'm going to tell you what, when I went to Africa, I said, if you don't have any convictions, borrow mine till you get some. People. Verse 15, you come a little further down. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Number three, possessions. Possessions pull at us to get us out. I could stay there forever. Here's another one, passions. Passions pull at us to get us out. I think of Samson. I think of Demas. Demas was with Luke and fulfilling the Great Commission. Now Paul writes Timothy, Laura, and he says this, Demas hath forsaken me. What? Having loved this present world. Here's another one, places. Places pull at us to get us out. Lot and Abraham. Abraham was doing everything he said. Here's Abraham. He's the older. He's the leader. He's everything. He said, listen, Lot, I don't want you to go. You choose. You figure this out. You pick whatever you want. I'm in your corner with you. You do whatever you need to do. I want you to stay with God. You do it. Lot says, yeah. He looked at the well-watered plains and he said, that's where I'm heading. And those planes took him to the door that took him to one of the most sickening societies in the Bible. Places. can pull you to get you out. Lot, Elimelech. Elimelech leaves the house of bread, Bethlehem. And I've seen a lot of people leave for jobs. My job's moved me. My this has moved me. My that has moved me. But has God moved you? Your boss may have moved you because you're depending too much on a paycheck and not the providential hand of God. And you're just, say put, Elimelech left. His sons married Moabites. He died. They died. And God can still write a straight line with a crooked stick. Ruth is in the genealogy of Christ. But don't ever get out there and say, well, I'll get out there. I know I can get back. Elimelech. I've said it before. I'll say it again. If I wasn't a Christian, and definitely if I wasn't a pastor, just take this for what it's worth. Ohio would not be where I'd lay my head at night. I have to keep myself in the love of God, which then keeps me where His love for me will be. And I hope He'll let me know when that changes. I don't want to miss that ferry ticket, or plane ticket, or bus ticket, whatever it is. And I could say this, the list could go on of P's. You and I both have to set our affections properly, or any one of us at any time can be a casualty. Jude does just that by pointing out things on one side and challenges us on the other side. We see that throughout the letter, but even more so in verses 17 and 18. With that being said, I want to preach on this simple thought, heavy on the introduction. I want to preach on this simple thought. Remember, he said that, didn't he? He said, remember ye the words which are spoken. I want to preach on this thought. Remember, it's them versus you. Sometimes you have to look at them. How many of us have seen the hysteria in the last few years, and you look and you say to yourself, what is wrong with those people? And you sit there and I say it all the time, I hope I never get that way. Now you can't be so, now you got to be careful too. He that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. And you have to take all of these things into consideration. A just man falleth seven times, but he doesn't stay there. He riseth again. Why? Because God is compelling us to rise again and again and again and again and again. Jude highlighted their demise and then challenges them in how to prevent that. And isn't that the battle for us all? I do not want to read the whole chapter to highlight what he saw and shared that was pulling at them. You can do that later on your own if it matters. I want to share what Jude gave them so as to not be pulled away. He told us what was pulling us away. Now I want to share with us the us against them. Here's some things to equip you that you're not pulled away. Can I say this? And we ought to think very, it ought to humble us. The church, the pew you're sitting in. Miss Linda, how many years you been here? Whew. Have you ever seen anybody else sit there besides Mike Baldwin? Never? Okay, let me do this then. I can still remember Jimmy. Nobody else might know this. But you see that right there, Brother Mike? Your scratches on that pew? That's his wheel. Were you here when Jimmy was here?
Yes, sir.
Now, Jimmy didn't get out. Jimmy was in. Always had a smile on his face. But I can go through here, and any pastor that's been somewhere for very long can go through and say, I've preached at places before and talked about getting out of church and pointed and said something, and the preacher goes up and says, you don't realize what you just did. Those folks were here last week and now they're not here anymore. You didn't know that, but everybody else heard you say that. And you know what that was? God using a preacher, a Nathan, to warn the other ones that you could be there. I've said this every year for families conference. What do I say? Be careful. Someone's going to leave. Well, I watched Joel Osteen the other day, and you got to be careful with your words. You're speaking that into existence. No, I'm just telling you the reality of it, that it happens. You have to what? Combat that by keeping yourselves in the love of God. So let's share the steps, if you will. I don't even know if I wrote a key word down for our Timothy man. First, we read in verse 20. What's the first step to keep to look at, to be aware of, that you don't get pulled out by what's pulling you out? Number one, verse 20, he says, "But ye, beloved," see if you can find this, Ryan. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." What would you think Jude was telling us was the first thing we needed to do to stay in the love of God? No, don't do that. There's no letter today. What's the word? He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." What's he telling us is a step to keeping us in the love of God? I wrote down this: building yourselves. Building yourselves. Remember, it's them versus you. You've got to build yourself. They're not building themselves. They are going with the flow. It's just amazing sometimes. Can I say this? The reason the sins of the father are passed on to third and fourth generation, you know why? Because he just does what comes natural. We're sinners by nature. You have to fight against the forces of that. You have to say to yourself, "I do not want to be that." Even if it is looking at something and saying, "I don't ever want to become that. I don't want to be that. I want to be something different." And there has to be an example of something that's right. That's what church is for. There's generations of people in a church. It's amazing to me. You go to a job, you want to be, Mike, what do they do with you as a police officer? They did this with us as a police officer. We go through the academy, we go through the class, we get our certification, we get our letter, we get all the things that we have, and then who do they team us up with? A field training officer. And what is he going to do? He's going to show us how to be a police officer. That's discipleship. That's being a Sherpa. But also this, you have to build yourself up. You have to go in. Now they're giving people incentives. You know what an incentive was for me when I went to work? My paycheck. My family was my incentive. My life, my food, my clothing was my incentive. Now they're paying people to come on time instead of the paycheck. Entitlement, entitlement, entitlement. Hold my hand to keep me in. Build yourself up. Become what you need to become for the cause of Christ. I can. Then these words echo in our heads. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Building yourselves. Jude says to them, in contrast to those that had been consumed or were being consumed, can I say this, and I'm by no means trying to hurt anyone's feelings, but you and you alone need to walk with God. Yes, others can help and will help. My wife will tell me from time to time, "You're just my helper. I appreciate you keeping me straight." And I said, "That's not my job. Your job, the Holy Spirit's your job to keep you straight." And can I just give you this? I need to get straight. And God says, "You're my helpmeet to get me straight." You follow what I'm saying? You talk about hard. A woman is a helpmeet. She's helping her husband because he has frailties. And the two help each other. You build yourselves. You and you alone need to walk with God. We create an environment for you to walk with God. We create everything possible for you to be everything you can in Christ. We have a book that we'll preach every week, three times a week, Sunday school class, everything you can imagine, little outings, little efforts. Listen, it wasn't for the young people to, was it paintball? What was it? Escape room. What did they do in that room? They escaped, huh? They tried to get out. Whew, Alicia, what's going on? I need to come to one of those events one night. But what are you doing? You're showing them that there's fellowship here. You can have fun without having to be fleshly. And you know what's difficult about it, Brother Baldwin? You have to go around to have fun where other people are fleshly. And then you have to sit there. And again, here's why the title of the message. It's us against them. Their fleshly fun leads to no service. Our fleshly, our fun, our faithful fun should lead to service. that you can have fun as a Christian. The Christian life can be happy. Do you know what prevented me from getting in a lot of times earlier on? I was witness to before those years. 3.5 years, Rodney faithfully witnessed to me. I could have come at 24. I would not have had to have the 3.5 years of stuff in my head that I have today. But you know what? Christians don't have fun. Because I had equated all the little fleshly things I was doing to fun. Can I say this? There's pleasure in sin. But it's over but for a season. Building yourselves. There are many scripture verses where communal and community help. But the community can't help someone that can't build themselves. Build, this word build here means to build upon. Rear up. The Oxford Dictionary defines it as to construct something by putting parts together. Sounds like something out of Corinthians. It means to make stronger or more intense. That doesn't happen on its own. It takes work, desire, dedication. Can I share something with you? Many probably didn't understand when I first came here. I had to have a peace of mind to stay here. Do you know what I did in the early days when I first got here? People are not projects. But I did projects. I'd paint a room. I'd carpet somewhere. I'd remodel something. I'd get something done. You know why? To get a sense of satisfaction. You say, well, what's the satisfaction? It's God's house. What was Nehemiah's first desire? To rebuild the house of God. Because if the house of God can't be rebuilt, then how can people be restored? That's my first journey. I was building. And isn't it interesting that Christ is referred to as a carpenter? Here's a couple verses of scripture before we move on about building yourselves. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, if ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You're saved and you're built and you're added. I have to be very careful when people want to join the church. Are you joining to just be a part of what we already have and destroy it? Or are you joining to add to it and you be the piece that's missing in the body? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Isn't it interesting that Peter's the one that shares these things about falling and being restored and being built up again, somebody that fell flat on his face? Peter says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped, here's the us and them, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He said, for if these things be in you and abound, they're the things you have to add. You and I have to add these things to our life. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's why you see a lot of people get saved over and over and over and over again, because they've never built themselves. They've never seen what God has done for them and restored them and given them repentance and redeemed them. And they sit there and say, I want to add to what he's done. And the adding part is my part. He's already done a good work in me. Now I need to add that. It is my part in it. He says these things, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, if ye do these things, you shall never fall. A formula for never falling. Can I ask a twofold question before we move on? If we were to have a home inspector, anybody ever bought a house? You have a pillar to post or something, I think is who we used in Ohio. They go in and inspect your home to see if it's something that you ought to invest in, that it's going to be there. If we were to bring in a home inspector, to look at your house, would they say that there is more separate, sensual, and spiritless construction to the home, or actually building taking place? How much of a structure are you? Can people find refuge in your house? If people are hurting, can they come to your home and get help? I'm not talking about the physical home. I'm talking about your home, where God abides. Can people come to that and see God and be helped by that? Paul said, Jude said, building up yourselves. Second, verse 21, Ryan, so far you're doing good. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Number one step, us versus him, is building up ourselves. What's the next one? Man, you have got this figured out, man. Jude now, after writing to them of all the things that can pull at them, now gives the second of three that I see from the text that they must do to stay in rather than be pulled out. He challenges them with the admonition to keep yourselves. It's your job. I'll tell you what, I don't go to church there anymore. Pastor just wouldn't call me. Pastor didn't help me. Pastor. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be a mess for me at the judgment seat of Christ. All the people that aren't in church because of me. I mean, it's amazing how fast we can, well, I'll tell you what, it's my wife. Preacher, if it wasn't for my wife, you'd see me there all the time at church. Well, I'll tell you what, my husband, man, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for my husband, I'd be there all the time. If it wasn't for my kids, if it wasn't for my job. Sounds like everybody else is culpable except you. Except me. We can figure out every excuse possible except for us. He challenges them with the admonition to keep yourselves. Can I say this, and I hope it comes across the way I know it to be in my heart. Ain't nobody getting me out of church. Nobody's getting me out of my walk with God. And nobody's getting me out of my love and life with Him but me. I'm the only one that can keep me out of it. I'm the only one when it comes right down to it. From Genesis to Revelation, there's story after story after story of people and persecution and every. You know why the church grew at such an exponential rate during the days of Christ? Because those people had a love for God and they were willing to be crucified. They were willing to be persecuted. They were willing to be fed to the lions. And people said, what is it that they have that I don't have? They had a love for God. And boy, our churches need. What does he say in the book of Revelation to the church at Ephesus? He said, you left your first love. Jude said after writing about them to keep yourselves. It isn't someone else keeping you. It's you keeping you. And I'm not talking about salvation. Christ settled that at the cross when I accepted his shed blood as an atonement for my sins. And I repent and I ask for forgiveness and I welcome him into my life. I'm saved. But it doesn't end there. It begins there. Now I have to keep myself there. Not keep myself saved, but rather in his love for me and future desires for me. The word keep here means, as I said before, to guard from injury or loss. To keep the eye upon, looking unto Jesus, to prevent from escaping from a fortress, to fulfill a command, to hold fast, to keep, to serve, to watch. The songwriter said it best, and Jacob shared it with us this morning. Can I read these verses again? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. The piano person was here the other day, and I noticed Josh played guitar, and he had the tuner that would go on the fret, the guitar fret, Laura, and it, doom, 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 you had to have all the, he set that thing in there, Sam, and he'd go, and he, you know what he was doing? He was tuning the piano to the tuner. Who's the tuner? And he will strum
the cords of our life. And he is trying to get them in tune with him. Tune my heart to sing thy grace, because everything out there is keeping us out of tune. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. I was a young man in church. Every time we sang that song, there was a lady in the church that would go, "Woo!" Do you know what I thought an Ebenezer was? No, an Ebenezer is an altar of prayer. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. Praying, what did he say in the first verse? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Does anybody even know what that is anymore? Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon at Mount of God's unchanging. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Was it Paul said to the Corinthian church? For the love of God constraineth me. You know what that is, Noah? Stand up for a second. Can I demonstrate this? Noah, set your affection on anything in this church you want. It shouldn't be. Set your affections on anything out there that you want. And Dad, this is what you do for him. And you've got your affection set on this. And all the while I'm going, I love you. I love you. Don't go. That prodigal. You know the interesting thing about the story of that prodigal? He asked for his father. He said, give me my inheritance. And then it said, after many days, I wish I could sit at the kitchen table and find out what they talked about. I got a son out of church. I just try and love him every time I see him. And I'm trying to show him what the love of God looks like and the joy. I don't sit at a table with him and said, so-and-so said this to me the other day at church. I don't sit there and say, man, I'm so tired of being a pastor. I sit there and I say, man, I just love God. Just trying to be an example. You know what that is? It's God's love constraint. If you are not close to God, no matter what he says or I say or anybody says, you get your focus on that, ain't nobody going to keep you in. You got to see him for yourself. You got to see the things that he does and the handfuls of purpose that he gives you. Ain't nobody getting me out of church but me. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. How well are you keeping it this morning? Are you blaming it on everyone else? What's that verse of scripture? Thy heart with all diligence. Is it keep thy heart with all diligence? For out of it, what are the issues of life? You're as close to God today as you want to be. How well are you keeping it this morning, or are you blaming it on everyone else? And I know I didn't expound upon the remainder of the verse, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said it the other day concerning Revelation and his presence. And I stated you have to see God and where he is, not where you think he isn't. We've got too many people in these bad days we live in looking at all the places where they think God isn't. I am more convinced than ever. Hear what I say when I say this. The last three presidencies, 4, 5, 6, how many ever you want, happened because of a thrice holy God in his sovereignty put a king up and took a king down. And he has now prepared this moment to see if our affections are on a president or on him. My fear is that too many are on a president and an economy instead of the great potentate and the commission.
Lastly, this. See if you can get it, Ryan. Them versus us. First, we're to build. Jude said, building yourselves. Then he said, keeping yourselves. Verse 22. This is real quick. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We're to build yourselves. We're to keep yourselves. What's the last one? Anybody? I heard it. No. It's an E. Extend yourself. You build. Brother Mike, what did they do? They built us as soldiers, didn't they? And then they what? They put us in a unit. And we're to keep each other. We're to watch for each other, weren't we? No man left behind, Brother John, right? Nobody. I just watched a documentary the other day about the Black Hawk Down. Netflix had it out. Men hazarded life and limb to go back and get those men. Where's that in the church today? Where's that? No, you ain't leaving. You ain't going. We're in this together. We got to do this together for the cause of Christ. I'm not pastoring for right now. I'm pastoring for 15 years down the road when who knows what the gates of hell look like to you guys, you girls. I want the perpetuity and the purity of this church that there's still there was a church 54 years old, Brother Alex, that ain't there anymore. What happened? They weren't building themselves. They weren't keeping themselves. And it got to a place where they didn't extend themselves. Watch what he says to extend themselves. Here's how they extended themselves. Some have compassion. Where's that in the church anymore? Well, compromise is there. Compromise is not compassion. Compassion is standing where you're supposed to stand and reaching and extending a hand out to bring somebody where you are. And where are you? You're built up. You've kept yourselves and you're saying, here, come where I'm at. I'm not going to meet you there and we just sing kumbaya. This is where, David said, taste and see the Lord is good. Have compassion, make a difference. The last is not actually written by word, but rather in deed. And it is an extending of yourselves. Salvation leads to separation, which then leads to service. And let me say this, it's not you extending yourself. It's Christ in you. And you are allowing him to extend his love through you to someone else. And sadly, that's where so many never quite get or understand. It is the pinnacle of the Christian life. I'm reminded of the discourse between Peter and Christ on the seashore. Interesting that Peter would write so much about restoration and falling. Jesus asks, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Your fishing boat, your friends, your fun. I don't know what it was that Peter just said one day, I go a-fishing. But Jesus met him on the seashore, and he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's what bothers me about the Super Bowl. It bothers me about, there will be people, can I just say this? If you're not a member here, I'm not saying it to you. There will be people that hold a membership of this church in the body of Christ. There are 2x4 in the wall that holds up a joist, that has a roof over top of it, and we are fitly joined together. You will not be here tonight, and you've weakened who we are. And you know why? Because something has pulled you away. And you have got your affections and lusts on something else that keeps you out of this. Sundays can be some of the sweetest times. Wednesdays can be some of the sweetest times. And even if it's not sweet, I sit by and I go, it was sweet for somebody. I'm trying to figure out what sweetness was for me. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? 3 times he has that conversation with him and it takes place. And he's reminding Peter of his usefulness and his significance in the kingdom. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Extend yourself for others. And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Question, and we're done. Is that you this morning? If not, just how long do we have with you
before you're gone. Maybe not off a pew, but surely from the place God once held in your heart. I read this, Brother Mike, I'll click on your quote sometimes and it'll take me to the quote page that you got the quote from because it's highlighted in the email. I was looking for one just to inspire me today, and I was looking for quotes the other day to write in someone's Bible. I have several quotes I have, and I pulled my old Bible off the shelf, and I was just looking through all the quotes that I wrote in there for myself to help me. I'm pulled every day. There's some days I wake up, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, for his compassions fail not, his mercies are new every morning. I'll be transparent. I said to Libby the other day, I'm done. I said, I've been thinking about it for a year, and I'm done. Not done with God. I'm just done with this pastor and stuff. Help me, Lord, it's difficult. Keeping people in the love of God. No, stay, come on, you can do it. All while not having a pastor, all while not having a father, all while not having a grandfather, all while not having somebody to come up beside me and say, you can make it, preacher, you got this. You have that every service here. Some of you are an encouragement, but I said to Libby, I can't. I started looking through my quotes the other day, and I read this one. You can work for him and not love, but you can't love him and not work for him. We must work the works of him while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. You have to build yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to keep yourself. No one else can do that for you. And then you have to extend yourself. No one else can do that for you. You have to be an extension of you. Alicia, everything that ever happened to me, I realize happened now for a reason, for me to extend my life to somebody else's to help them. Aurora, God's writing a book with you. Miley, Sienna, McKaylee, Julia, Ryan, Michaela, all of you. And God just wants to use that. You've got to build yourself. You've got to keep yourself so God can use you to extend yourself to somebody else. Because there's somebody waiting for you to extend yourself. Miss Janet, that day, I sat in my office afterwards. I was messed up. And this is what I said. Where was the man for my mom that day at court? Was he there somewhere? And he just didn't build himself and keep himself. Somebody's waiting on you to help them. And if you don't keep yourself and you don't build yourself, you won't be there to extend yourself. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. Build us, Lord. Shape us, mold us. Attach us to a local church. God, with your love, constrain us. Keep us. And then, Lord, let us be so malleable that you can use us to extend ourselves to help somebody else, to have compassion, to pull them out of the fire. Hate the garment, or as they say, love the sinner but hate the sin. God, help us to be the church of Jesus Christ in this day that we have. I plead. In Christ's name, amen.